I want to talk to you tonight on, it's really what the Lord just put in my heart is, we must learn to fight better. Everybody said that, we must learn to fight better. Now, if you look at that on the internet, you'll find a whole lot of pictures, John, about husband and wives learning to fight better. You know what time y'all fight better? Y'all don't fight, do you? Now, Andy and Maria, they never have a crossword. Andy said, I'm not going to lie on that one. But I don't want to deal with that one tonight, because Lane and I have to have a confession service before you, and it lasts about 3 hours. So we don't want, but I do sense in the spirit that God wants to do something to help us fight better spiritually. And I tell you what, that there is an assault going on, but it's just not against us. That there's an assault going on against the church world as a whole, and especially churches here in the United States. And you got to know that what you're feeling is not normal. But it is normal as what the enemy is trying to do against churches and people that love God. But it's just not right. It's not right that the enemy would have access and would try. So unless we come to that understanding, and we begin to rise up and say, you know, devil, this is not right. I'm not going to put up with your stuff anymore. And God's going to help us do that. How many is just sick and tired of being sick and tired? And you're just ready to stand up against the enemy. In fact, it takes that. It really takes that. A lot of times our prayer life is just praying for what God would do for us or for what God would do for someone else, not realizing that God's called us to a place of authority. And literally, with our mouths, we're able to release the power of God. And through our faith, we're able to release the power of God into the situation and into the circumstance. So we're going to talk tonight about we must learn to fight better. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20 says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. You need to punch your neighbor and say, you're not my battle. Would you do that? You're not my battle. Because the devil has done everything. He's worked overtime to try to convince you that they're your battle and they're not your battle. Now, maybe their attitude, that's part of your battle, because see, spirits come in and influences come in, and spirits come in, and when they come in, they begin to influence people. Man, I tell you what, I'm shocked sometimes when I can almost like wake up from a dream and I recognize that for the last little while, I've been influenced by the enemy. Influenced through fear, influenced through frustration. I mean, it's just like you come out of a cloud, you know, like you're walking that thing, you don't even realize you're involved with it. But what the enemy's wanting to do is not just influence it, but to make attitude, develop attitudes inside of us. Attitudes of agreement with what Satan's wanting to do is called a stronghold. When it develops an attitude, when you develop an attitude towards somebody, you've just developed a stronghold toward that person. Now, you can develop a good attitude toward them, which is a godly good stronghold. How many love Jesus' strongholds? Man, I love that. Don't you just love the bondage to peace? And don't you just love the bondage to joy? To be bound to joy, to be bound to peace? But what we don't want is the bondages in our life that's in agreement with the enemy. And when you're fighting levels of spiritual warfare, when the enemy has launched strategies against you and demon powers, you can't trust your feelings, because the enemy is there to change your attitude, to develop a wrong attitude in your mind, to develop a stronghold against God, against God's people, against circumstances, against situations. I mean, people just develop attitudes that I won't go there anymore, you know. And the truth of the matter is, we need to go there till we win. The truth of the matter is, we need to develop an attitude that God's power in us can overcome this. The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our declaration, or the word of our testimony. And the very moment that you begin to succumb in your testimony is the very moment that you're never going to be able to overcome that thing. God wants to develop inside of our hearts that is not pleased with in our life that heaven doesn't desire. God wants us, I believe, as a believer, to come to a place where we're not going to allow things in our life that's not in heaven. Because Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I believe God wants us as a believer to come to a place to where we're not going to be succumbed to those spirits of darkness, to where we're going to allow things in our life on earth that's not heavenly. That's not as it is in heaven. This is dress rehearsal for heaven. Did anybody know that? This is just dress rehearsal, preparation for heaven. There's a lot we can't change out here to make it heavenly, but there is a whole lot that we can change in here that can make us ready for heaven. Amen. So it says, well, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting those enemies. Everybody say, I won't fight them. If you're fighting somebody, you're breaking the commandment of the Lord. The Bible says here, we're not fighting flesh and blood enemies. So if there's anybody that you're holding a grudge against or that you're fighting, you're going against God's command. God tells you, you're not to fight that way. You're not to say just the way they are. No, that may be a way a demonic stronghold has tried to force them and frame them into being. But it's not that person. That person is somebody that Jesus died for, no matter the bondage that's going on in their life. Amen. So we must allow the Lord to develop the right heart inside of us. So it says that we fight against, but we are fighting. Man, we're fighting against rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Man, I'm amazed at believers that have no spiritual eyesight, that have no spiritual insight. All they see is mental attitudes, circumstances, and have no spiritual insight. My God, Lord, wake us up to realize that there is a spiritual war that's going on behind the scenes that you can't see with your eyes. And Lord, wake us up to see that even though that people may be in bondage, they're not the real issue. You can kick out people all you want to, but until you get enough of God to kick that spirit out, that spirit will keep finding someone that will entertain it until somebody gets fed up enough to say, I'm going to quit allowing that spirit to torment my life. Amen. And so the spirits chase us, waiting, and God all the time waiting for us to get a result. So the Bible says we fight against rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world. So that's what we're fighting against. And simply, we must become better at fighting spiritually. We must. Everybody say, we must. We must fight. Ephesians 6:17 says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Notice what it tells us. It tells us to put on the full armor of God. It closes out the list of the armor by saying this. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Next verse says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Now, a lot of times we call the last listing of that armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I want to carry you a little bit further now. I want to talk about the two relationships that we need to develop deeply with the Lord if we're going to be a spiritual warrior. There's two areas that we need to develop into a deeper relations with God and deeper understanding with the Lord if we're truly going to be warriors. Now, I've already quoted for you, but Matthew 6:10 says, your kingdom come. That's what Jesus said. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God does not want us putting up with anything here that heaven does not allow. Anything that's in your life or in my life that heaven's not allowing, God said, why are you allowing it? Why are you allowing? Why are we allowing something that heaven does not allow? That's one of the strongest cases to offer healing that you can have. Do you understand that? That's one of the strongest cases for healing that you can have. The truth of the matter is, there is no sickness in heaven. And Jesus told me to not be satisfied with anything here on earth that's not allowed in heaven. That's why he said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, I exhort that first of all, then it begins to list for us the four types that God calls four types of praying. The first one is called supplications. I'm not going to really discuss that. I just want to rehearse that. We've already talked about that some. We want to go a little bit deeper with these tonight. And that's what supplication is, the compassionate heart that God's put in you, crying out to a compassionate God. If you're going to have a supplication, you can't do that without compassion. The compassion inside you reaches out toward the compassion that's in God. That's an important way to pray. Some would say, why aren't my prayers are effective? First thing I would check is to see if there is compassion inside you. Because the only way you can pray a supplication prayer before God is to have a heart of compassion that yearns for whoever or whatever you're praying for, that yearns for that to be healed or delivered or to set free. And it's more than to make your ministry shine. God forgive us and God rid us of people that want to see things done just to make them shine or to prove that they're a minister. God give us people that will pray with a heart of compassion because they don't want to see the sick hurting anymore. They don't want to see the bondage stay in bondage any longer. They don't want to see the marriages stay in a wreck. God give us hearts of compassion that we would be willing. Amen. But then, I do want to talk to you about is prayers. Now, there's two areas that we've got to develop in our relationships with God if we're going to be effective warriors. The first way, we must develop our word life. Everybody say our word life. There's no way to get around it. Scripture must be a major part of our life if we're ever going to be effective for the Lord. Scripture must be a major part of our life. Jesus said those that worship the Father must worship him in what? Spirit and what? Our truth. There's two relationships that must be developed in our life. One is our word life and the other one is our spirit life. Both relations must be developed. Now, some people are prone more to one than the other. But there must be a balance in every person's life. Some people find it much easier to flow in the spirit than to go on the routine of taking hold of the word of God and putting it into their life. And then some people are just take a hold of the word of God, but they have no really life flow in the spirit. Both sides of that pendulum must be developed. The person, we as a child of God, we must get a hold of the promises of God. Now, I'm amazed at some people that try to fight through problems and they try to fight through with only one promise. Do you realize there is multitudes of promises on any given subject in your Bible? The first thing I believe that needs to happen anytime that we face any type of issue is that there needs to be a biblical search. Everybody say a biblical search. We need to find every scripture we can find on that given problem. Find every promise scripture that we can find. Because, see, the promises of God, it's the anointed word that's going to bring a deliverance in your life. The Bible says it's a sword of the Spirit. It's when the word of God becomes a sword in the hands of the Spirit of God. So it must be more than a scripture. A lot of times people would just take a promise and just kind of almost like wave it in front of the devil. That's not the way you do it. You've got to take that promise, and through your praying over that promise becomes an automatic meditation of that. there becomes a squeezing of that promise. The same principle of olive oil being squeezed from an olive seed. You get olive oil from the olive seed. You take the seed and you put that seed under intense pressure. And when that seed is under intense pressure, it begins to emit an oil. And that's what the Bible uses as what we call the holy anointing oil. It's symbolic of the anointing of God. It's when you take the seed of that word and you place it under intense pressure. Now, you can take that seed of your word and you can let it be under the intense pressure of the situation, but there is a better way. It's when you take that promise or you take that word and you put it under the intense pressure of prayer. It's when you begin to take that promise and you begin to apply that promise against that situation and you intently do it and you press that promise up against that wall of opposition and you will not allow, relentlessly you're pressing that wall and that press of that seed of that word begins to emit the holy anointing of God that brings forth life and victory into that situation. Amen. So it's taken of that word and intently. And that it becomes automatic meditation. When a person really prays the word, it becomes an automatic meditation of that word. That word in your own heart and mind, when you begin to take it and pray it, and you begin to relentlessly take that word and relentlessly press it against your situation. I said, sickness, you have to go. The Bible says, by whose stripes I was healed. I was healed by the very stripes of Jesus. Jesus bled and paid the price. And you begin to take that in intense pressure of your spirit, taking a hold of that seed of that word and pressing it into that situation, brings forth the holy anointing. It caused that word to be anointed. It causes the anointing of God to come up on that word. See, there are certain things that without that applied to that word is ineffective and will not produce. The Bible says, unless that word has faith, it is useless. It takes faith on that word. I'm going to tell you what, it takes anointing on that word. It takes the Spirit of God being able to breathe His breath upon that word. God wants to do something, but it's not just to open my little promise box at night and pulling out my little promise and reading my little promise and think it's going to be some kind of little magical rabbit's foot that's going to begin to change my situation. It's when I'm going to begin to take God's promises and I'm going to begin to apply God's promises against my problem or against that situation or against my neighbor's problem or against somebody's eye that I love when I begin to take that and I will not relent. Somebody says, I will not relent. I will not back up. Listen, God has not made us of those who draw back. We press forward. We take the word and we press forward with that word. Inch by inch if needed, foot by foot, until that word overcomes that problem and causes that problem to cease. In Jesus' name. We forget there is a holy transition. The same way that Jesus came to this earth is the same way God gets heaven to earth. Jesus came into this earth by being delivered through the angel a promise from God. But Mary believed that promise. The moment she believed that promise, it became from spirit to her flesh. The moment she believed it, what was only a promise became a seed in her womb. It became physical. And it became physical seed to produce what that promise has said. See, we want a magic foot or a rabbit's foot. We want a magic wand. We want something that's going to be make it so easy where we have no part in the process. God makes us a part of the process because, honey, this is just training for heaven. What we're going through here, the winning processes, God is training us to reign with Him forever in heaven for the glory of God. So we've got to understand. So the relationship with the Word must grow and grow. But not only must have a relationship with the Word. Notice what it said there in the book of Ephesians that we just said there. We just read back there in Ephesians 6. Let me skip back there just a quick minute. Verse 17. It said, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is what, in terminology, they call the killing sword. This is a small sword that would go into the belt of the Roman soldier. And it was a killing sword. It's a sword of the Spirit. Now, Rick Renner, which is the third leading authority in Greek and is supposed to be in the whole world, gives us another rendering on this. He said, we usually stop the armor of God at that point, not realizing that a piece of the armor is missing, that there is another piece of the armor. And that's where the other piece, he says, is the praying in the Spirit. Now, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is the killing sword. It's the small sword. The only problem with having a small sword is this. You got to be really close to your enemy to kill him. You understand? The small sword. And Rick Renner does such a wonderful job in explaining the piece of weaponry that's not listed out is the soldier's lance. Because the soldier's lance is that is given to the soldier to kill the enemy before he ever gets close. So we have a choice. We can use a lance that will kill the enemy before he ever gets close, or we can use the small killing sword once he gets close. I'm going to tell you this. My mom, she didn't raise all of us to be fools. I'd rather kill the enemy at a distance than I had the enemy that close to me. But the truth of the matter is, God says when. It doesn't matter if the enemy is at bay away from you or if the enemy is close to you. God said, I've given you the weaponry to bring down the enemy's plans. I've given to you what it takes. But in his explanation of this, he does a wonderful, like I said, job rendering. The one that's not usually carried or talked much about is the praying in the Spirit. And that's what I want to talk to you about in the close here tonight as we talk about intercession. The power of intercession. Supplication is my heart of compassion that reaches out to God on behalf of someone that I deeply love. Intercession is the heart of God reaching out through me to someone that he deeply loves. It's the process, both are processes of power. But intercession is the heart of God himself. And many of you that's moved in the gift of intercession, you understand that. You know what it is when a spirit of intercession comes upon you. And you're all of a sudden you're in the midst of crying. And many times and not even really understanding why you're crying. But you can sense in your spirit that there is something from God, that God's trying to touch somebody. And God's trying to. And then a lot of times you do know. But you sense it from God's point of view. And that's the wonderful thing about intercession. Intercession is where we allow God to use us to pray his heart and to care forth his heart. I think a lot of times we will allow the Word of God, we find it safe. What is that, right brain or left brain? The dreaming side is what, left brain? Then it's right brain, right? Because you're telling me that. No. I think a lot of times we as believers, we find it really easy to stay in the safe range. And so we will believe a lot of things over here in the Word, and because the Word is safe for us. But when it comes to the left brain activity, for the Lord wants to allow us to venture into the flow of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you what's amazing to me. We as believers, we tell people when they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, step out in faith. Start praying in tongues. And then once we get that flow into our life, we become so safe that we're not willing then to flow with the river of the Holy Spirit. Because I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Spirit has some channels that He wants to open up to the children of God. It's not by any accident that Moses was told to take the rod and to stretch it forth. That was a spirit prophetic movement that caused miraculous intervention from the heart of God. And if you find things in the Word of God, you find a lot of things that we would say is totally idiotic. When the Lord would tell one prophet to lay on his side for a certain number of days and then to turn over on his other side, and as he would do that, heaven would move and change on earth would come. What I'm just telling you, the Holy Spirit really wants to train you for. Not only does He want to give you a power flow where you're able to take that word and you're able to resist the forces that stood against you, but God also wants to help us to use the lamps. Holy Spirit, I believe, spoke to me the other day. I've always, intercession is, that's why I don't pray around a lot of people, because intercession has been a part of my life for a long time. But where God comes on you and the Lord, you know something powerfully is taking place. That's why I had you tonight begin to lift up people. See, that is a prophetic gesture. God knows more. You know, God speaks with more than just words. Do you understand what I'm telling you? God speaks with more than just words. And I believe this with all my heart. God is raising up a group of intercessors in this church that's going to have the capabilities of not just using the killing sword when the enemy gets so close, but God's going to use intercessors with the power and the ability to launch bombs against the enemy that would destroy the enemy at bay. The Holy Spirit was telling me like this, that Jerry, do you know what happens if the bombs don't get the enemy at a distance? You fight the enemy close. And He said, you know what happens if you fight the enemy close? Your family fights the enemy close. He said, if you don't stop the enemy at the line of the nation, the next thing you have to stop me at the line of your door, front door. And the Lord, I really believe God's wanting to raise up an army of intercessors that's able to move with God. And it's just like a person sitting with a rocket launcher. God's going to have you shoot at some things you can't see. God's going to have you blast away some things that you can't see with your physical eye. But God, by His Holy Spirit, is going to put it in your heart. And God's going to use you as a gifted prophetic intercessor. That God will use you, anoint you, empower you. Both sides of these relationships has to be developed with God. Some people are more prone to the Spirit, and you have to learn the strength of the Word. You'll never be any stronger than the Word of God that you have in you. But at the same time, those that have the Word have got to learn to trust the leadership of the Holy Spirit and allow themselves to begin to use the lance with God, not only the killing sword. I tell you what, I don't know how many times I tell you, a soldier really becomes to enjoy the battle when you take that little killing sword and finally you've got the neck of the devil. Maybe it's the neck of cancer. Maybe it's the neck of sickness. Maybe it's the neck of some other disease. Maybe it's the neck of a home problem. Maybe it's a family problem. And when you take that last jab and you say, in the name of Jesus, and you come down on that problem, there is a joy. But I'm going to tell you what, it's a greater joy if the Lord will enlist intercessors that will be able to take the enemy out. Because the Lord knows not is God only aware of what we're facing today, God knows what we're going to be facing tomorrow, and He knows what we're facing next year. Now, the thing about an intercessor's lance can go as strong as your faith is. A lance can blast into next week. A lance can reach into next year. A lance can reach into next week. A lance can reach further than that killing sword. If you're going to deal with only the killing sword, which is a wonderful weapon, but if you're going to deal with it, then you're going to have to deal with it and eyeball to eyeball against the enemy. Addiction, friction, you're going to have to come up to a place. And that is, I love to fight there. I love to finally get my foot on the neck of the devil that's brought torment into my life or into my family's life. I love to do that. But I'm going to tell you what, because I love family and I love people and I love you, I'd a lot rather be used as the gift of intercession to destroy the enemy at a farther pace away from your life and away from your circumstances. I'm just saying this. I believe there's things that we could pray down to today that we won't have to face tomorrow. I believe there's things that can be prayed away, guarded away, blasted away that we won't have to face next year. But I believe it will take the development of our spiritual side of our life being developed along with that word side developed. Praise God. So let's close. The star of the place is, there's no finishing to this. There's all types of it. But the starting place is that we learn to find the place of receiving from God in the realm of the Spirit. There's not much I have to say to you on the authority of the Word. We, this church, and we have such powerful teachers and preachers in this church, has done a beautiful job in declaring the very power of standing on that authority of the Word. But where we have got to grow at, we've got to learn to receive in the presence of God. With the short moments that we have here left, I'm going to invite you to do that. Is anybody that needs to get right with God tonight? Is anybody that needs to get right with God? Somebody, something wrong in your life, you need to get right? Right before we... Does anybody need to get... Raise your hand up if you need to get right with God. Somebody here need to get right with God? Someone? Anywhere? Anyone need to get right with the Lord? God bless that hand. Or somebody else? There's another hand. Anybody else just need to get right something? Right for need to get right with the Lord in an area? And God bless that hand. Praise God. Anyone else? Does anyone else just need to get right with God? Just need to get right? Need a man? It's no game, is it? It's need to get right with God. Need to get some things right with God. Need to get right with God. Need to get right with the Lord. Need to get right. God bless that other hand. Praise God. Lord sees these wonderful hands that's been raised. Anyone else? Anyone else that need to get right with the Lord? God bless that other hand. Praise God. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Man, here we are talking about something totally different, and God's working in a totally different, unique way. Oh, praise God. Is anyone else? We've had about 6 adult hands that's been raised that they need to get right with God. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I want you to pray this simple prayer with me, and then I want you to do something rather hard. But I just believe it's best. I believe sometimes. I'm going to pray this prayer with you, and then I want you to very quickly, if you raise your hand, I want you very quickly come down here. I want to spend just a moment. I want to pray for you. I want you to pray and make things right. And then I want to pray for you. I want to pray for strength and grace of God. And I don't want you to worry about what people think. You tell that spirit of insecurity to go back where it needs to go. That you're going to live for Jesus no matter what it takes. So let's pray this together. Would you say, Father, in Jesus' name. If you raise your hand, pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I've come tonight to make things right with you. And I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would forgive me and that you would cleanse me. And Lord, the Bible says, if I would acknowledge you before men, that you would acknowledge me before my Father in heaven. So tonight, Lord, I'm going to walk down there and let Brother Jerry pray for me. I'm acknowledging you, Lord. I'm acknowledging you, and I thank you that in heaven now, you're acknowledging me in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you very quickly, come on. If you raise your hand, come on. Raise your hand. Come on. Praise the Lord. The rest of you, it's really time for the close of service. I'm going to pray for these. But if you have a need, I want you to learn to sit in the presence of God, and I want you to learn to receive in the Spirit of the Lord. Unless we learn what the presence of God feels like, we will never be able to stand in opposition to what it's not like. We must become accustomed to being healed by His presence. We must become accustomed to receiving direction by His presence. We must become accustomed to receiving that. So I'm going to ask you, Jeremy, if you would, go ahead and start others. So we're officially dismissing as I pray for these right here. But if you have a need tonight, you learn to sitting here on Wednesday night just for a few minutes and learn to try to draw from and to receive from the presence of God. Learn to get familiar with the Spirit of God in your life.